To turn with us this morning, 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. 1 Chronicles in the 29th chapter. The thought that's on our heart this morning, a few Sunday nights ago, I preached about the priestly garments that the high priest would wear when they went into the tabernacle or the temple. The tabernacle was where the Ark of the Covenant had been previously. It had been the place that the priest would go in, and after the sacrifices were made, they would go in and they would praise the Lord through these sacrifices and incense offerings. And this was almost their church of then. This is what the tabernacle was, but we have something different that we're going to talk about this morning, and it's the temple that David was wanting to build for the Lord. And David never got to see that temple built. But his son Solomon, who, if we remember correctly, was the wisest man that had ever lived, or in the Bible that we're told, we know that he was the one that actually got the temple to be built. But if we could put a title on our lesson this morning, it would be "So That He Would Meet With Them." And I hope and pray by the time that we get done this morning that that will be clear, and we'll be able to understand why it's titled that. But David was a great king, I believe. David was a king of Israel. He had reigned for 47 years. That was the time span that he had had. He had been a very young man when he became king of Israel. And I'll say this, David did a lot of things that maybe you and I wouldn't have done. He did a lot of things that were contrary to the Lord. But the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And I'm thankful that David lived his life in such a way that even though he did wrong, even though he had times that were not pleasing to the Lord, he always knew where his help came from. And if we were to read over the 17th chapter of the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, we would know that plans had been made. Plans were getting in place to build this temple, and maybe even before that, but that is one of the earliest records that we have of this temple being built. And we've got to realize why this temple was built. We've got to understand this morning that Israel, as we talked about in Sunday school, they have always were trying to defy the Lord. They would go along for a little while and they would do well. And the next thing you know, Israel was off in left field and they were doing something that God was not pleased with. And David and Satan had a little bit of a run in. And Satan told David, he said, "You count your kingdom." And you may ask, well, what's so bad about that? What had happened was, is David took a census of his kingdom. And it's not that that was necessarily wrong, but David did it for reasons other than just for a census matter. He did it because he wanted to show that his kingdom was great in number. The pride that he had was not what God wanted. God wanted David to submit to him no matter how big his kingdom got. So this didn't please the Lord. So the Lord told David, he said, "You have your options." And he gave him three different options. And the one that he chose was pestilence among the land of Israel. One of them was to be taken captive for 3 years by another state or another country. But David didn't want that. David still wanted to be king. So the pestilence came. The problems came upon Israel. And you know what happens when we have our problems? What do? We go straight to the Lord. And we try to figure it out. We try to work it out. So David builds an altar to the Lord. And if we were to look at Jerusalem this morning, we would know that David's kingdom, David's palace, looked out over Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah was where this temple would eventually be built. But David built a temporary altar there. And David goes and he makes sacrifices to the Lord. And he lets him know, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, and I want your help again." But David still had to suffer the consequences of the things that had happened. And I believe one of the consequences of the things that he did was that he'd never see this temple be built. But I want you to understand this morning that this temple was built not for David's heritage, not for Solomon's heritage, but for God's heritage. It was made beautiful because of the things that God did, because of who God is.
And I want to read this morning for a little bit, the 29th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all of my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, and onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistening stones in divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones, and abundance, in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house with all over. The gold for things of gold, and the silver of things for silver, and for all manners of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jeiel the Geshonite. And then the people rejoiced, for they that offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." And I told you this morning that our thought would be so that he might meet with him. Now I want to ask you this question this morning, and you don't have to raise your hand, you don't even have to answer out loud. I don't want you to. But how many of us enjoy when God meets with us? I do. I enjoy when God meets with me. I enjoy when God passes by and His presence is so evident in the things that take place in my life, not only outside of the church, but I also enjoy when I come into God's house and He passes by here. Amen. Every time that we come this way, we should come with the expectation that God is going to meet with us. But I want to make mention of a few things this morning and why this is relevant. We think about what David was trying to do. David wanted to make sure that there was a place there in Jerusalem, or rather up on Mount Moriah, a place that would have been beautiful to worship the Lord. Now you've got to remember some of the things we read about the gold and the silver and the iron and all of the things that were given to make the temple a beautiful place. I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe God deserves the best that we have. I believe He deserves the best from every single one of us. And I believe what was going into this temple was the best that David and this kingdom had to offer so that he might meet with Him. And I'm going to say today that I believe that David was doing something because he loved the Lord. I don't believe that he did it just because he got into trouble. I believe that David did it because he loved God and he knew that he needed God. And because of who God was, he deserved something great to be worshipped with. I believe that. David would go on to die in the next, a little while down after this chapter. It says he died in an old age, and he had lived a long, good, happy life. He had done things that were wrong. There were some times that were bad, but David overall had a good life, and he was a good king, I believe. And so now it was time for Solomon to step up. It was Solomon's time to go and build this temple. Now I'm going to say they didn't run right out, they didn't start building it right away. They had to prepare for it. If you could imagine this temple and what it might look like, it had to have taken a lot of craftsmanship and a lot of materials to make the temple the exact way that David and Solomon wanted so that God would be pleased with it. And so Solomon becomes the king of Israel. He was a young man. And as he becomes the king of Israel,
he makes another temporary altar to the Lord. I want you to know today that back in this day and time, they would have made their sacrifices to the Lord with burnt offerings and incense. And the more sacrifice you made, or the sacrifices that you made, they were to cleanse you of your sins in a way. Now I'm going to say today, those offerings would never take the place of God. God must still save people. But this is their way of showing their love for the Lord, offering things to God. So Solomon goes before the Lord and he offers him 1,000 sacrifices of the best that he had. And he petitions the Lord and he asks him, he says, Lord, I'd like to have wisdom or something to that effect. So God grants that wisdom to Solomon. And Solomon becomes a wise man. In the second chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're going to move through this a little bit at a time, because I want you to see this morning something that took place here. And I want you to imagine the greatness of what was going on just so that God would meet with them. It took a while to get this temple built. And I believe it was a labor of love. Is this today not a labor of love? Being here today in God's house, is this not a labor of love? You know, I've been at this probably shorter than most of you have. But it's a labor of love. And the reason that we worship the Lord, the reason that we come together to serve God on Sundays or whenever, is because He's worthy. God is worthy of everything. God is worthy of my life. And it's not much. He deserves my life. And I'm going to tell you something. After a while, He's going to take this old body and He's going to make it return back to the dust of the earth. And this old soul that He saved, it's going to return to Him in heaven someday after a while. If that doesn't give us a reason to be happy this morning, I don't know what would. Oh, and David knew and Solomon knew this. So they began to prepare to build this temple in the second chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. And it says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for His kingdom. And after this, Solomon gets together a great band of people to go and build this temple. And he even contracts King of Tyre. He contracts some of his men because they had some of the materials that he needed. So they were giving things back and forth. And one of King Tyre's men was the one who furnished the temple. Oh, and we'll get there. It was beautiful. This temple that was built. It was something that I believe today would be a magnificent thing for us to see. I believe that. And it says in the 5th verse, and it said, the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build Him a house, seeing the heaven and heavens of heaven cannot contain Him? Who am I then that I should build Him a house, save only to burn sacrifices before Him? He says, but who is able to build Him a house? Even the heavens themselves cannot contain God. I believe this morning that everything that we see before us is a creation of God, or something that God created to make something that you see possible to be created. I believe that. And so I believe very much so that Solomon knew that there was no way that this place could be great without the Lord's help. You see, even though he was building this for the Lord Himself, for God Himself, he knew that he was going to need the Lord's help. And brothers and sisters, today at Mount Calvary Church, whether you belong here as a member or not, we all, as saved people, we need God's help in everything. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's so much sweeter when God meets with us than when He isn't meeting with us. It's so much better when God is with us. And I'm going to tell you, even though this morning we may not be building a physical temple here, we're still building toward things for God. And I believe very much whatever we give the Lord should be the best. And I believe they were intending for this to be the best. I believe that. Over
over, and we're still in the second chapter. And Hiram said, and that was the man that was sent by King Tyre to furnish the temple. And he says in the 12th verse, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king of a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Lord and a house for his kingdom." And so they're getting ready. I believe it was about 4 years from the time they started to the time it was finished that it took to build this temple. So it wasn't going to be something that was going to happen overnight. It wasn't going to be something that was going to be fixed in a matter of weeks. It was something that was going to take a long time. And in the third chapter, they begin to work on this temple. And Solomon said, and it says in the first verse, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord of Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, and the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." And I told you about where Mount Moriah was, and how out of the back of David's palace you could look up and see Mount Moriah. I believe that David wanted to look out, and I believe he wanted them to know, wanted himself to be reminded every day that we're building towards something. He wanted to be reminded that God had promised him something. And God had promised him that he would be taken care of. Even though he was going through pestilence, even though he was going through tribulations at that moment, David still knew that God's promises were sure. And something that God has always promised his people was that he would be with them. I believe that. I believe very much so today that God is still with his people. I believe that. And we could read over in some verses of Scripture, and it would be very well known, and it may be, we probably won't read them today, but it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land." There's a big if in there. And I titled it, the Lord gave me this thought, so that they might meet with them. I want to say this morning. As Solomon begins to build this temple, he knows how it's supposed to be built. But what he doesn't know is if when it's built that God will sanctify it. God had told him that he would be there, and I believe that God keeps his promises. But if Solomon had built it any way other than the way God wanted it, the Lord may not have sanctified it. The Lord may not have been there. And brothers and sisters, today, that's a big if for him. And it's a big if for us today. Every time that we come to God's house, and I believe that this is the Lord's house. I truly believe that. Every time that we come to God's house, we should come expecting that God will be here. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean? God's always supposed to be at the church." I believe that God has been here ever since August of 1972. I told you that, I don't know if I told y'all this or not, but 35 years ago, today on the first Sunday of March, this church came into this building to begin to worship the Lord. And I find that maybe a little odd. I didn't know that till this morning. But I guess the message goes right along with that a little ways. But ever since then, God has been here. God's Spirit has made manifest that this is His place. It's His house. And I believe that. And I believe very much so that God can be here and we can never move or never do anything. I believe that because I believe that God is everywhere. But I told you so that He might meet with them. I want to turn it around and say, so that He might meet with us. Brothers and sisters, I believe very much so today that we need God to meet with us every time that we come in these church doors. Amen. We don't just need Him when we come here, though. We need Him all the day long, every day that we live. But we need God every time that we assemble ourselves to worship. Oh, and when we get over here and they finish this temple, what took place is something that I hope happens here at Mount Calvary. I hope God pours out His storehouse of blessings upon this church so thick and so strong that the ministers there could not even go into the temple when it was completed. God was happy with what took place. God found favor in what was going on there. And Solomon gives us the temple's dimensions, and he gives us its furnishings as we go on and look through these scriptures. Some of the things that were in there, everything was the best.
It was made the best of the best of the best. The best that money could have bought in went into that temple.
And it was things that people had given, things that people had done. And I want to mention this because it'll come back out in a few moments of time and the Lord will help us. In the 14th chapter, in the third chapter, in the 14th verse, Solomon was talking about what he had made in the temple, and it says, and he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen and wrought cherubims thereon. Now you think about that. This is the veil. And I want to explain to you this morning about the temple. The temple was a place that the high priest could go. And there was the holy place in the front. It was where the incense offering would be made. And behind that was a big veil that was made. And that was the holiest of holies. And the only people that could go there in these temples were the high priest. And when the high priest would go in there, their garments, and I told this to the church a few Sunday nights ago, when they would go in there, they had to have a veil on their clothes. You said, "Preacher, why did they have to have a veil?" Because when they went in there, they were going to be in the presence of God Almighty. This was a place where God would be. And the only people that could go was the high priest. And they wanted to make sure that they were still alive when they were in there. So that bell, as long as it was ringing, they knew that they were all right. But if it ever stopped ringing, they knew that that high priest, that priest had passed away. So they had to make sure that it was still ringing because nobody else could go in there except the high priest. Now, can you imagine today us having to wait for somebody else to get in touch with the Lord? This place was where God would rain down in a magnificent way. But today, we don't have to wait for somebody to go in the holiest of holies and make a talk to the Lord and ask Him to heal our land. Brothers and sisters, we all have access to the holiest of holies. We all have access to the throne room of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that this morning. But I wanted to mention the veil because it plays a very important role over in the New Testament. The fifth chapter says this, and I promise I'm not going to go all the way through 2 Chronicles. There'll be a point to this in a few moments if the Lord will be our helper. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the houses of the Lord was finished. After this time, it was finished. And you know what was fixing to be placed in this temple? You ever heard of the Ark of the Covenant? It was something that had been coming for a long time. It had been gone through place after place after place. And something about the Ark of the Covenant. It had Aaron's rod that budded. It had the tables or the commandments in it. And it had bread in it, holy manna from God above. It was three things. The Ark of the Covenant is a type of Christ. And I'm going to say today, they were bringing it in. And the only people that could be with the ark were those that were ministers of God. And nobody could touch the ark. It had rings that would be on the side, and they had to run these poles through them to carry it almost like a casket. And they carried it in, and the work was completed here. And it was fixing to go to the holiest of holies. This Ark of the Covenant was fixing to have a new home all down through the ages of time. It had been in tabernacles, and those tabernacles were made of tents. A lot of times they weren't as spectacular as this place was. And you say, "Preacher, does a building have to be huge and grandiose for the Lord to meet with them?" Not at all. The Lord meets with me all over the place. He meets with me in my car going down the road. He meets with me everywhere that I am because God goes with me. But I'll say this today. I believe the best that we have is the best we ought to give God. And they had the best. So they were giving it to God and this temple was completed. And I want you to think about these people today. Can you imagine the excitement that must have been going on in Jerusalem? The temple is completed. We're going to go watch and see what's going to take place. I guess I could imagine them lining up and watching the ark pass through the city and it going to the temple. There must have been a lot of people following it. They were excited. They knew that there was something that was going to take place here that they didn't want to miss. And so the temple was completed. And in the fourth verse, we begin the trek of the ark going to the temple. And now I want to mention at this time, the only thing that was in the ark was the commandments. The Aaron's rod had been taken out and the bread, it was gone. But the only thing that was there was the commandments. And it began to go in. And it said, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. And the king, and also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without, and there it is unto this day. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. And the 13th verse says this, and I want you to imagine, as they begin to leave the ark, it says it even came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. They were in one accord. There was a grand fanfare that was taking place because the temple had been completed and the ark was returning to its rightful place. It says they could be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Told you, at the beginning our thought was so that He might meet with them. I can answer if He met with them. He did. And it was so great that even the ministers could not stand to be there because the glory of the God filled the house. How many of you all have ever been in a service where the glory of God filled the house? Amen. You remember the times when God was so strong on a place that God's people couldn't even sit still because God was there in a great way. Those times are not gone. I believe very much so that God is still meeting with His people today as He was then. I believe that very much. There's a whole lot of ifs that go along with that. If my people will do what I ask them to, build the temple, and I'll be there. Meet with God and I'll be there. And He was there. Can you just imagine what was taking place? God Himself. People say that God didn't manifest Himself in the Old Testament. Oh yes, He did. People say the Spirit wasn't present in the Old Testament. Oh yes, it was. God's Spirit has always been and it will always be. And I'm thankful this morning to know what that's about. I've been where they've been. And you say, preacher, you've been to the temple? Never been to that temple. But I've been where God is, and I'm thankful for that. So that He might meet with us as Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. I don't pray that He would just meet here. I pray that He would meet wherever God's people will be coming together. Then Solomon said in the 6th chapter, he said, the Lord has said that He would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built a house of habitation for Thee and a place for Thy dwelling forever. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with His hands fulfilled that which He spake with His mouth to my father David, saying. And he goes on to talk about building this temple. And then Solomon prays. And I'm not going to take too much more of your time this morning. But I want to talk about Solomon's prayer and what happened there. I want to mention this as well. Fire came down from heaven on this day. It was a holy fire that came down from God out of heaven. I really believe that. I believe it was a fire. It says it was a fire, and I believe it was a fire. And I believe very much so that when God begins to meet with people, there's a fire that's stirred up. There's a burning desire to see God more. I'll say this. Once you feel God, once you feel that Holy Spirit, I long for it. I want to be in the presence of God all the time. The first time that I ever really felt God, and I felt God a long time. When the Lord saved my soul, I felt Him. And He'd been with me a long, long time. But the first time He ever filled me up to the point where my cup just overflowed, it was the best thing since getting saved. Didn't get saved again, but it sure felt good when God came on the scene and filled me up with His Holy Spirit. I long for those times. I long for them here at Mount Calvary. I long for those days when God's people began to worship God. Brothers and sisters, we've got to worship Him. We've got to want Him here. We've got to want that, so that He might meet with us. I believe very much so that we need to expect every time that He's going to be here. I've heard it said, and I believe it to be the truth. If we go expecting God, He will not disappoint us. We may not have 30, 40, 50 people get saved in all of our services, but I believe that God can still be here. I believe He's here with us every time that we meet as a church. I believe that. I feel Him. But I'm longing for those days when He pours out His Holy Spirit in that way. Brothers and sisters, we need a revival that way. We need God's Word in that way. We need His Spirit in that way. Amen. Solomon's prayer. I told you I'll try not to take too much more of your time this morning. And you've got to remember, and I didn't explain this very well, but in the courtyard of the temple, there was an altar that was made. Not an altar like we have today. We're not going to get down here later and start burning stuff on it. But they had a place that they would go and they would burn their offerings. It was something that they had to do every year. On the Day of Atonement, the temporary altar was gone. And I want you to think about this today. The temporary altar that they had was here. All of this was temporary. We're not sacrificing things today to the Lord. That was a temporary altar. They had built a permanent altar there. And I believe it to be a shadow of what was coming. There was going to be a permanent sacrifice that would be for every man, boy, girl, whoever would be born, that would hang on the cross of Calvary. You think about that permanent altar this morning and the Lord Himself. And it says Solomon in the 12th verse, and it said, "He stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and He spread forth His hands." And I believe He built a great scaffold, or a thing that He could get up on. It says it was brazen, it was high. And you say, well, did Solomon want to get up there and show what he was doing? I don't think so. I believe Solomon wanted to petition the Lord, and he wanted to ask for His blessings. I believe that's what we need to do today, is pray for God's blessings. I'm not going to read it all to you because I would be here until about 3 o'clock this afternoon getting into all this. And I know that we don't have time for that. But I encourage you this week. I encourage you to go read this prayer that Solomon prayed. I'm going to read you just a little bit of it. It said, he said, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in heaven, nor in this earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts." Think about his prayer. He goes to Him and he says, "There's no God like You, Lord. It's not another one like You." So much more I could say about these, but I want to get down to the 20th verse. "That Thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof Thou hast said that Thou wouldest put Thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which Thy servant prayeth toward this place." That His eyes would be open toward this temple, toward this house, day and night. That was the prayer that Solomon had for this temple.
He wanted it to honor and glorify the Lord. I believe today that we are to honor and glorify the Lord. There's been a lot of times that God has met with me. And I'm going to talk about one other thing. And I'm going to close. Something that would be very familiar to every one of you if you were to think about it. But you think about old Joshua and how he had to cross the River Jordan. The ark had to go across. And if you've ever looked at the River Jordan, and I believe maybe it had been out of its banks over in the book of Joshua, not the book of Jericho, but the book of Joshua. I believe it may have gotten out of its banks a little bit. And the ark was going to have to go across it. And Joshua knew that the Lord would be with them when it went across. And he says, we're going to go across on dry land. We're going to do this, and I can almost guarantee the people probably thought, well, that's a foolish thing. It's out of its banks. If we can even get across it, it's going to be muddy. You know what happened? The Lord just took those waters and he just dried them up. And they stepped out into the River Jordan, and I believe it hit dry land. And they went over on to the other side. And I believe before he told them to go over, he says, the 12 tribes of Israel, you 12, get you a memorial stone, get you a stone, so that we can show that God was with us. And they went over. They made it across because God was with them. And then you know what happened when they got over there? Joshua told him, he says, now you go over there and you place those stones together so that it might be a memorial, so when your children ask about the ark going across Jordan, you can tell them that we made it over. God was with those people there. God was with them there. And I believe very much so, the same God that was in the Old Testament is the same God that's with us today.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we need to mark down our stones. I have heard a lot of times about places that my family has had this happen, that happened, this happened, that happened. And I can almost tell you some of their stories about when God was with them almost as good as they can. Lay down your markers today. Let people know that God has been in your life. And if you have children, or you will have children, so that you can show that God has been there with me through it all. Let them see the markers. They had the temple to show them. It says all the congregation was there. They all saw what took place that day when fire fell from heaven and God's glory filled the house. All of Nashville may not be here today. In fact, we know they're not. And they may not be here 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, a month from now, in August when our revival is. But I believe if God's people will humbly submit themselves before the Lord, and they expect God to be there, brothers and sisters, they'll know that the glory of God has filled His house. And then we can show the memorial stones to show them that God was here. I'm going to say this today, and then I'm going to try to close. People have always said, God, we shouldn't expect God to bless us because of who we are. And I agree. We're nothing in the sight of God. I'm nothing, you're nothing, we're all nothing in the sight of God. But I'll tell you this. I believe God wants to bless His children. I believe He does. Micah says, will a man rob God? We will. We'll rob God of being able to bless us. God wants to bless His children. God wants to bless this church, and He wants to bless all of His true churches. I believe that. But brothers and sisters, we have got to sacrifice things toward God. We've got to be willing to work toward the Lord.
Amen.
I believe that very much this morning. And I believe if we'll come together as Solomon did, and you think about when those trumpeters and those singers got together, it says they were as one voice. This church right now is in unity and harmony. It is in one accord, and that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I hope and pray with everything that's within me that this church stays in unity and harmony and one accord. And brothers and sisters, we're going to have to guard against the things that the devil's going to try to throw in here. But I believe if we'll stay that way, I believe that God will send fire and His Spirit down from heaven on high and fill this house of God today and whenever that we meet together with Him in this place.
May God bless you, is our prayer, so that He might meet with them, but so that He might meet with us. I need the Lord today. I want Him to fill me with His Holy Spirit. And I want you all to feel that Spirit too. May God bless you.